Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Worship Online. I'm Pastor Lindsay Hall, one of the clergy that serves at First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm glad that you've signed in to worship with us this morning. Please take a moment now, if you would, to share this worship service. I'm sure you can think of somebody who would love to hear and be with us in worship, and so please share this on social media. Maybe you can think of a friend or a neighbor, a coworker, a colleague, somebody you know that would love to get better connected, and our church community would be very proud, would love to have them get connected here. But we want to make sure and know that all of you have been worshiping with us, and we want to help you get better connected. So please take a moment to fill out our connection card. That's found on our church website, and you click on worship, and there you're going to find the connection card. Our website is www.brightonfumc.org. Now, I would invite you to lift up your hearts and lift up your minds in a time of praise. And later this morning in worship, we're going to be hearing some wonderful prayers and scripture reading as well as sermon time. So now let us center ourselves and prepare to worship. Let's sing together.
My name is Lucas Seng. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you for all that you have shown us with your life. We long to be disciples, following and serving you. We long for your kingdom to come alive in our world today. Continue showing us the way through your words, your acts, and through the signs you show us. Help us to see your will for our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Bible reading this morning comes from John 21, verses 15 through 25. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, so you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, so you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did, and if every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who asks all of us to care for his lambs. Amen. So we heard this beautiful story. This is the end of John's gospel, the very last passage of the four canonical gospels. This story concludes Jesus's ministry here on earth. It's the very last thing that he says to any of the apostles. They had just gotten finished with the story that we read last week, where Jesus is standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and the disciples are fishing, and he calls out to them and he tells them to come back because they hadn't caught any fish. And then Simon Peter realizes that it's the Messiah, and he puts on clothes because he was naked. And then the boat comes back. They have a fish fry on the beach, and Jesus talks with them. And at the conclusion of that conversation, he turns to Simon Peter and says to him, "Do you love me?" And Simon Peter says, "Yes, of course I love you." And Jesus asks again, "Do you love me?" And Peter says the same thing, "Yes, you know I love you." And Jesus asks one more time and says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know everything, Jesus. You know that I love you." Three times Jesus commissions Peter to feed his lambs. Three times he asked Peter to tend to the flock that Jesus had created and cultivated over the course of his ministry here on earth. It's clear Jesus trusts Peter. Some scholars suggest that the reason why Jesus asked three times was not because Jesus didn't know the answer, but it was a way of redeeming Peter for the three times that he had denied Jesus Christ after he had been crucified. And that's certainly one plausible explanation. Another way is to simply say that Jesus was asking Peter multiple times the same question, "Do you love me?" to affirm with absolutely no uncertain doubt that Peter did in fact love him, that he was devoted to him, and that he was going to give his entire life to serving Jesus in ministry. In a lot of ways, this particular passage puts all of us on the hot seat. In some ways, we can look at this moment and think that Jesus is staring us in the eyes as well, asking us, "John, do you love me? Lindsay, do you love me? Anybody else who may be watching this video, do you love me?" And what does that mean? What does it mean when Jesus is staring us in the eye and not just asking a simple question that we can answer in a moment without even thinking about it, but what does it mean when Jesus, the Messiah, looks us in the eyes and says, "Do you love me?" Most of us would probably attempt to answer as quickly as we could, "Yes, yes, we love you, we promise, we're following you, we're giving our lives to you, we're standing in your footsteps, we're seeking your teachings." But what would that have been like if Jesus would have not simply accepted your first immediate answer and said, "No, seriously, like, do you love me?" Second time, maybe we'd pause for a moment and say, "Why, yes, Jesus, we do love you." And Then maybe a third time, if we were asked that question again, we would answer it with a little bit more intentionality, and we might start listing out the different ways that we feel called to be obedient or follow Jesus Christ. Well, I go to church, I try to teach my family values, I try to live by the teachings of Jesus Christ, I try to serve my neighbor, I visit people who are imprisoned or sick, I share clothing with those that are naked, I give away my resources to the poor. Jesus looks at Peter, and I think, to some degree, Jesus looked at all of the disciples who were gathered there that morning on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he looks at us too, and says, "Do you love me?" It's not enough to simply say yes. It's not enough to simply say, yes, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus, and that's the end of the story. After all, Jesus actually expects more from the folks who answer that question yes than Jesus expects from the people who answer that question, no, I do not. We have a responsibility, Jesus says, to feed the flock of God, to care for people who are in the family of God, to reach out in concern to folks who are less fortunate to us. That is the Great Commission right there again that we hear in Matthew. Jesus commissions Peter. Jesus commissions the rest of the apostles to go out and do miraculous and extraordinary things, and that is exactly what they choose to do. The book of Acts is filled with stories of their martyrdom, courage, and faith. Classically, we have some understanding of what all of the apostles went out and did. Peter went out and became the first bishop of Antioch, later being martyred in Rome. I guess he took Jesus' words seriously. He went out into the world and invested his time in teaching folks about the stories of Jesus Christ. And one of my favorite parts of this passage is that the gospel writer takes a moment to let us all know that there were many other things that Jesus did that weren't recorded in the Gospel of John. After all, if you were to take an account of his entire life, all of the books in the world could not contain all of the things that Jesus had done. Suffice it to say, the Gospels are filled with important stories about Jesus' birth and life and teachings and his acts of forgiveness and mercy and grace. They're filled with stories about his death and the final weeks of his life. And of course, they're stories about the resurrection. But I find it so incredibly compelling that if you track the disciples' life across the entire story, here in scene one, they're ordinary people going about their daily lives. In scene two, Jesus shows up and calls them into ministry. In scene three, the disciples are there, continuously asking questions about Jesus' teaching, trying to more deeply understand what he's come here to tell us. The next scene is the disciples observing Jesus walking into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, entering it as a triumphal king. And then the next scene is the disciples observing Jesus being crucified. These ordinary men and all of Jesus' followers in that moment were terrified because the Messiah that they had come to follow was now dead. One of the things that I find most compelling about these disciples is after that moment of fear, which admittedly probably most of us would have experienced if we had given so much of our time and energy to following Jesus Christ, and suddenly the person that we followed, the person that we had given our lives to, was crucified and dead, of course, many of us would be afraid for our own lives. But what I find absolutely compelling is that these ordinary men, these ordinary people, somehow discovered within themselves through the power of the resurrection this courage to cast aside their fear, to cast aside their doubt, to leave behind them all of the instances of human brokenness to do some extraordinary things. These disciples went all across the known world, to Africa and to Spain and to India, and there are stories about their journeys that have been captured and passed down through generations, and we have them today. All of the disciples, except for John, met their untimely death at the hands of some authorities. Some of them were crucified or put upside down or killed by the sword. But they all died for something that they deeply believed in. They all died so that this message about grace and forgiveness and hope could reach our ears today. Sometimes I find myself wondering, what if those disciples had never left the upper room? What if Peter just continued to deny Jesus Christ, pretending like he didn't spend those 3 years with him? What if all of the disciples would have lacked the courage to go out and share their faith with countless individuals in streets and communities all across the Mediterranean area? We would have missed out on this life-transforming story, perhaps. Maybe God would have chosen other people. But because of the ordinary individuals who had extraordinary courage to go out and share this message, we're all inheritance of that incredible faithfulness. We've been gifted this story, this incredible life-changing story of a man who came and taught us so much about what it means to be a faithful follower of God in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, what do we do with that story today? Because I think Jesus is looking at all of us in the eyes and asking us, do you love me? And it's on to us to answer that question in a way that feels authentic and meaningful to us. After all, it is an individual act of faithfulness to look Jesus back in the eyes and say, yes, I do. And perhaps Jesus, for some of us, would have to ask more than once until we felt it ourselves that we could fully say yes. But it's not enough to simply love God or to know God. But Jesus in this particular passage also encourages us to serve him. Well, feed my lambs, tend the flock, care for my sheep. And there are so many different ways that we can do that in the world today. It's clear to us that there are people who are suffering in our community around us. That's why we do the Hope's Closet bedding ministry that we've heard about here in the service. That's why we send folks down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit to help serve folks who are less fortunate. That's why we send meals down to Noah in Detroit to make sure that everybody is literally fed in addition to having the spiritual food that they need to live a full and robust life. That's why we put together beautiful prayer quilts to share with folks in our community and around the world who are struggling. There are many ways that we can feed the flock of God. Perhaps you in this moment are wrestling with how you're called to feed God's lambs. I encourage you to spend some time this week simply thinking about that question, wrestling with your calling, because at the end of this resurrection story, at the end of Jesus's time on earth, he sort of transitions the power, transitions the authority, transitions the calling onto these ordinary disciples and others who had followed him during the course of his life. And that continues to be true today. So I encourage you to take a moment to ask yourself, to wrestle with, what is God calling you to do to feed the flock today? Where is the Spirit moving in your life? What is the incredible story that God is waiting to write about what you are called to do in the world? I encourage you to spend some time this week wrestling with that, thinking about that, praying about that, so that when the time comes that you're prepared to act. In some ways, when Jesus asked Peter those three times, That probably became a foundation that Peter reflected upon throughout the course of his ministry. Well, I told Jesus 3 times that yes, I am willing to serve. Yes, I am willing to love you. Yes, I am called to feed your flock and your lambs. Are you? Am I? I suppose those chapters and those pages are yet to be written. So my encouragement to you is this. Take a moment, close your eyes, and imagine yourself on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, sitting with the resurrected Jesus and hearing the voice of Jesus Christ asking you, "Do you love me?" And wrestling amongst yourself with what does it mean if I answer yes? What path might my life be on if I say yes? It's an extraordinary path. It's an individual path. It's a path where you can be supported by a church family like ours to be faithful in every step of the journey. But I encourage you to take a moment and think about how you would answer Jesus if he was sitting next to you today and asked you that question 3 times. May you be faithful in your response, whatever it may be. Amen.
Hi, I'm Carol Gapuska, your worship host for the day. And as we enter into our time of prayer, I wanted to share a story with you, which I like to do to give you an idea of how I came up with the prayer for today before I get into it. So the last couple of weeks, I've had a lay speaking class, and one of the things mentioned during that class was not only the importance of the meaning behind the words that you use in your prayer or your sermon, but also how the meaning can be changed by the inflection that you give certain words as you're speaking. So last week when we were praying with Bruce Stark, I was thinking about his prayer and thereby my prayer for this coming Sunday and what I would be saying, and the phrase, "Jesus help me," came to mind. How the inflection of different words could change the meaning of that phrase. Now, why, you might ask, Carol, come on, pray, get to the prayer. But I'm always thinking about my prayer and how I can make myself better at that. And I always feel like I forget something, or I can't think about things when I'm praying. I can't think of how I want to pray. So I imagine that some of you guys have this issue too. So go along with my line of thinking. When I put different inflection on different parts of the phrase, "Jesus help me," it cued me to different purposes for my prayer. So I could say, "Jesus help me," calling out to him specifically that I'm at the end of my resources, perhaps. Perhaps guidance is less of an option and I am looking for relief. I'm not just looking for help, I'm asking for him to take over. But I also might be praising or calling upon Jesus himself. Now, what if I inflected, "Jesus, help me"? Then I'm looking at being specific on what I want. I need some help. I need to be saved. I need to have some calming effect. I need to be guided. Sometimes it helps us when we specifically ask for what we need. Or I could use the inflection, "Jesus, help me." So who are we looking for as the focus of our prayer? So that's what helped me to structure my prayer today. So it could be a call to Jesus. It could be a specific area that you need assistance with. It could be a specific person that you're asking for prayers as your focus. So maybe someday when you're at a loss for words in your prayer, you can remember what I was thinking when I came up with today's prayer. So let's pray. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. We call to you even in those times when we do not know where to turn. Only you are there for us at every turn and are deserving of our glorious exclamations. We give thanks to you for providing for us and those around us resources, encouragement, and confidence to know which way to go because we follow you. But when we've reached our limit and we can no longer see in the darkness, we are grateful to you that you are there to take over. Our belief in you brings a community, a strength, a favor that is like no other. We can be in the strongest storm and be unharmed. We can merely think your name, and all that we need comes forth. All because of our belief in you, and for that we thank you. Help those that are in need because they are hurting mentally or physically. Help those that are in leadership positions and making very important decisions. Help those that are picking up the pieces after a disaster in their life or just needing connection to someone larger than themselves. We ask that you provide for them in these times. Use us as your will for those purposes, to increase our fellowship, and to tie us together in one voice and one mission. Guide us through our decisions and troubled times. Lead us to resources or to just quiet times to contemplate you. Let us think of ourselves and others that are in need of you and send them our prayers for whatever it is that they may need. Be with us for this next week as we face new challenges or continue to work through the old. As we experience the celebrations and successes in this next week, help us to enjoy them, but thank you and all others that you bring to us. Settle those moments in our spirits to remember should times get tough. Be with those that may need to know that they don't stand alone. And also those that stand with you and need to know that there is strength in numbers. We hold your light within ourselves, but share it as well for those in the darkness. But we especially ask for others, ask for guidance and how our one voice can be made louder in your name to help. And now thinking of the what is needed, how it is needed, and who needs it, we take a moment to silently send our thoughts to you. And now let's join our voices together as one voice as we pray the prayer we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Mary Kushner, and I'm doing the mission moment today for our Ministry Hope's Closet. And I'm here at Hope's Closet today to show you, because I think a lot of people have never seen the closet in the real. And as you can see, we're in a pan around, the closet is stuffed full of clothing. We're in the process now of changing from the winter to the spring clothing, so that's quite a process. Our Hope's Closet ministry was begun by our friend and mentor, Pastor Susie Hutchinson. After taking in foster children and working with the Department of Health and Human Services, Susie found that children came to foster homes often with a garbage bag of a few personal belongings and limited clothing. So she challenged the congregation to start a closet to help outfit foster children quickly and at no expense to the foster parents. And that is how Hope's Closet was born. This is located above the Vena Dental Clinic. So we're in one of the bedrooms of the old parsonage. And we have new and gently used clothing for newborn babies to children sizes 10, 12. As you can see, it's pretty stuffed. So that's about all the sizes we can fit in. Because of your generosity, the closet is stuffed full, and changing seasons can be a full-time job, as you can see. We also have a room in the lower level of the well, and that is stuffed with beds and cribs, and strollers and baby supplies. Just this week, we have provided a bunk bed and a loft bed and 4 mattresses to a family taking in 5 foster children. These are siblings that have been in separate foster homes and are finally going to be together in one foster home. None of this would be possible without you. Thank you for your continued support to Hope's Closet and Hope's Gifts, which is the offspring of Hope's Closet, and that's our Christmas gifting to foster children. Last Christmas, we bought gifts for 81 children. We are stuffed to the gills here at FUMC, and the Livingston Foster Closet in Fowlerville is looking for support. We would like to join the closets together, but we are looking for a space to host this closet. Ideally, it would be centrally located in Livingston County with easy access. So what I'm asking today, if anyone knows of an empty storefront or a building that might be willing to donate space to us, our goal is to have it open regular hours and make it easier for foster parents to get what they need. Unfortunately, with the pandemic, it's been very difficult to get people up into this facility because of trying to get into Vena and with allowing people into the building has been difficult. So I do want to thank you again for supporting this special ministry. And your keep the donations coming of clothing and money, because that's what helps us purchase the needs and have the things that we don't have on hand. So thank you very much, and welcome to Hope's Closet.
Giving is a tremendous blessing and an amazing joy. So I'd invite you to be a part of the joy this morning by sharing your offering. You can go on our church website and give electronically. You can mail in your offering to the church, or better yet, you can stop by and drop off your offering during the weekday. And Pastor John and myself and the church staff would love to say hello to you. So please, during this time, lift up your hearts in praise, lift up your hearts in joy, and celebrate the great mission and ministry of Jesus Christ through your offering.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we can't contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we can't contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. Ooh, 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 ooh. Multiply.
Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for making this your spiritual home on this Sunday morning. We're so grateful for your presence, and we hope that this service was a blessing for you. As we conclude our time together, I just wanted to make you aware of a couple of announcements about things going on here at the church. First of all, on Sunday, May 2nd, we are going to be having new members join our church, and we're so grateful and excited to have seven folks deciding to make this their spiritual home. Additionally, we wanted to let you know that if you've been collecting those little tooth piggy banks, we encourage you to bring those back to the Brighton or the Whitmore Lake campus on that Sunday morning. We would love to collect all of those and add them all up and put them together and send our gift on to Vina for their digital x-ray machine that will help them do their work for patients in our community. I also just wanted to share with you the wonderful news that together we took up an Easter offering and that totaled about $8,000, which we're so grateful for everybody's contributions and support to that. So thank you so much for helping us make that wonderful gift to missions for the Easter holiday. As we conclude our time together, I pray that we will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.